Hello and welcome to the Christmas special of Cinema Archery. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Or if you're listening to this later on, then I don't know, Happy Valentine's Day, I guess. With me as always, to my right, it's Dave.
Hello.
Don't look at me like that.
And how are you doing? You're like, answer promptly. You're like right now.
You're like an Amdram coach in like sixth form, just like, fucking smile. Smile, you little cunt.
I'm fine, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Good!
Yeah. I've had a can of energy drink, and I'm doing okay now. And here's Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Wilson. How are you?
I'm fine. Stop asking me that.
Are you sure you're fine?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine. Good.
Festive special.
Allegedly.
Yeah, this is your idea, so you decided to pick a film.
Right, everyone stop for just one minute.
All right, go on.
Right.
Go on.
We've got an issue.
Yes.
I've given Wilson the sibilant bias mic, and Wilson is a very sibilant person. Right. Could you please swap seats?
Okay.
Because every time Wilson makes an S noise, it actually feels like I've got termites in my head.
Ooh. Put the whole music on while we do this.
Oh, we actually have to do it.
I'm going to have to move me. Oh, my shit. Go on. Up you get.
Because my...
Up you get.
Oh, for God's sake.
You move round. Move round. Just fucking
move. Take your seat.
Just move round. Move round.
Why do we have to... Well, the seat's across as well. Honestly.
I don't want that seat.
Give me the laugh.
Maybe fucking Christmas.
Fuck you. Oh, Merry Christmas. Let's pick a Christmas film that's got nothing to do with Christmas. On you go.
Right, snake, sausage, scissors. Let's
That's
go.
Beautiful. You sound great.
Thank you.
How do I sound terrible?
Yes, you do.
No, actually, there's no sibilants there at all.
Good. That's good. Carry on, Christopher.
It's because I have a bit of a quasi lisp, isn't it?
Just fucking carry on.
Self-conscious now.
He's just a really sibilant mic.
So yeah, Gremlins 2.
Excellent.
We're reviewing Gremlins 2.
The new batch.
The new batch, which when I chose the film as our Christmas special, in my defence, the first one's a Christmas film. And then I completely misremembered this one and thought this was set at Christmas as well.
Well, to be fair, it wrong. Applies to Cinemortuary rules, which is as long as it's a sequel to a horror film or a horror Christmas film, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So that's fine. This will probably be the highest ranked episode ever.
I would have thought so.
Knowing that logic.
Yeah.
I've been gently trolling you since you got here and you haven't noticed. I'm wearing a T-shirt of a Christmas horror film.
I've had my dick hanging out the whole time.
Nobody would notice that, first of all. And I'm wearing a Christmas horror film T-shirt that does have a remake.
Black Christmas.
It was a very subtle trolling.
Yeah, too, I mean, there are others, like Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Yes. What's also?
I found a Garbage Day Christmas jumper the other day on the internet.
Garbage Day!
Yeah. there's a few sequels and a remake, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the remake of Santa's Sleigh.
Same here.
It's coming, though, isn't it?
It is.
One day. Well, I'll tell you what else is coming. Gremlins 3. Continent.
Oh, get fucked.
Chris Columbus directing it, apparently.
Okay. I was going to bring this up later.
Go on.
Because obviously I've heard about this as well, but it doesn't really work at this part of the show because we've not discussed the film yet. So we might come back to it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll come back to it later.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Kick us off then, lad.
Unless, you know, I forget to, and then, sorry.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, dude, sorry, Mum, I forgot to put a present in the box.
Merry Christmas.
Here's some money.
Money's all right.
Yeah. Mm. Even worse, here's a Boots card.
Oh, savage, or a W.H. Smith's one.
I think the worst ones you can get someone are them like shop for all ones where you can get it in like three different shops you can use it in and it's all like B&M and HomeSense. It's basically a gift from someone who doesn't know you at all. To get you a specific like gift card.
You have no interest, do you, great Auntie Gladys? You have nothing going on, do you?
That whole thing.
Yeah.
I've received them in the past.
I do apologise for everyone that has done that to you.
One of them was you. I'm joking, it was me!
It was me all along!
Oh, son of a bitch!
Just get that wrestling reference out of the way, early girls.
Well, no.
Well, there's going to be another one later on. That's the real reason why I picked this film.
Thought it might be.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pick Santa with Muscles 2? Is there a sequel?
No.
That's a shame.
It was barely a film to begin with.
I don't think I've seen it.
You know what? There's some films I've only like seen It's a Wonderful Life twice, but yeah, I watch Santa with Muscles every single Christmas. I've literally seen it 11 times.
That's impressive. What about Jingle All the Way? How do we feel about Jingle All the Way?
I watch that every year as well.
Yeah. It's quality, that, isn't it?
And I also watch Santa Who, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Yes. Josh Cluderay loves that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
As well.
Okay.
Regular listener, I'm sure. Hi, Josh.
Yeah. Hi, Josh. You're right. How's the Turtles collection going of everything Turtles?
It's still going.
Mm. Good.
What's your favourite Christmas film?
Oh, that's a very good question.
You can't say Jurassic Park just because it's on Christmas Day every day.
No, of course not.
What about you, Dave? All of a sudden thinking about it.
I'm not going to say Die Hard because that's what twats say, innit?
Yeah.
Unless you were about to say that.
No, I wasn't. It's not. It's
Die Hard 2.
Not like it. Mine is, for example, my favourite Christmas film is Home Alone.
Ooh. Shout. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Not Bad Santa, I fucking hate Bad Santa.
Really
not
shite.
Funny.
Shall I tell you what else is shit? I'm going to steal your spicy gimmick here for a second.
You might steal what I was about to say as well.
Fucking Elf.
Yes!
Shit!
Absolute
shit?
Wank.
Nah, it's fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
And if I hear one more joke from people at Christmas telling me I look like Will Ferrell in Elf, go fuck right off.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, everyone that is 3 or 4 years younger than us, as soon as you mention Elf, they have to go off for a little wank in the toilet, don't they? Mm. And I've seen half of it on Christmas Day, and I was not having a good time with the midget jokes and Peter Dinklage just absolutely phoning it in before he got famous.
Yeah. And then Zooey Deschanel sings, and then I just, like, stick my head in a blender.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, favourite Christmas films?
You know what? I can't decide. I might have to go for Jingle All the Way, actually.
Good shout.
Yeah.
Good shout, yeah. I'm going to go somewhere between Edward Scissorhands.
Is that a Christmas film?
No, sorry, Batman Returns.
Okay.
Which is a Christmas film.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Christmas Alfred. Merry Christmas, Alfred.
Yeah.
Or Rare Exports.
Rare Exports is a shout.
It is very good, yeah.
Unnecessarily good.
Isn't that technically a remake? It was a short film first.
Well, we've already had this debate because Wilson wanted to do the Twin Peaks thing.
I did, yeah.
And you stamped on that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
With your little Reich.
Yeah, we should.
You put that down, didn't you? Fucking hell.
No, you're right. Yeah, you've used my own words.
See, I can't do the X-Files movie. I can do the X-Files movie too.
Yep.
But I don't want to do that at all. Mm. Absolutely not.
Okay.
He does not want to believe.
Might be my next pick.
Don't want to believe in Billy Connolly in wintertime getting cold and complaining about random shit.
It's Scottish, what do you expect?
Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
For the two people that are still listening, let's go for Gremlins 2.
Yeah. Shall we begin?
Fire away.
Yeah, well, the beginning right away sets the tone quite a bit, as we have a short little bit with Daffy Duck.
Stop the music! What's up, Duck? What's up? I'll tell you what's up. I'm taking charge here. That's what's up. 50 years of you having the spotlight is enough. I am riding the shield from now on, because I personally have all the talent around here. Okay, Mac, let's take it from the top. Okay, far enough. Now then, camera, music, sound.
Yes, the Looney Tunes bit at the start, brilliant.
Yeah, very good. And I think the reason why this is in there is just to establish what the Gremlins will be this time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
In the first film, I mean, I'll take what we all like the first film.
Yeah,
they were a lot more established to be just like horror creatures, you know, like ghouls, you know, we're supposed to be afraid of them. Apart from that one scene in the bar where, you know, they're all like quite playful.
Yeah.
And that whole scene has informed this.
Yeah. I think it really sets the tone for a film that is very self-aware, and considering how many times it breaks the fourth wall.
Mm.
Like, the setting of the film is about taking the piss out of the media empire globally, sort of thing.
Yeah. It's very, very meta.
It's very, very meta, but it's so clever with it.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think it makes sure that everything it does is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this kind of, it just ticks that box at the start to tell you what you're after, sort of thing.
Take that, Scream 2!
It's better than Scream 2.
It is.
And it's smarter than Scream 2.
Yeah.
Considering it's a few years before and it predicts stuff.
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's just the most fantastic situation of the knobhead reporter from Die Hard playing Donald Trump.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fabulous.
So, we start off in New York then, you know, properly.
Yep.
And it's the Doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
I was just going to say, activate emergency medical hologram with hair.
Yeah.
It's my dad with hair. Yeah. Trying it's to turf also, out a Chinese fella.
It's also straight into our well-worn sequel set in New York scenario.
Oh, mate, wow. When I remembered that it was set in New York, I did have to go to the toilet for a little shufty. Eleanor, move. Why? It's a sequel set in a big city. It's Babe Pig in a big city all over again.
Yeah.
It's Short Circuit 2. I'm fucking over the moon right
it's
now.
It's Home Alone 2, lost in New York.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if the Doctor's there to help Daniel Clamp buy out...
Old Chinatown.
Old Chinatown. And the last one, wouldn't you know it, is Mr. Wayne from the first film.
Mm-hmm.
Owner of a Mogwai, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, and please state the nature of your medical emergency. Turns out, a bad cough.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, nice. You know, he's dead in 6 weeks.
Yeah. He coughed twice, so he's going to die. Cut two. He's died.
At least they didn't do that cliche where he coughs into a hanky and there's red on it.
Oh, goodness.
Can you name me a moment in cinema history where there's a hanky that's been introduced, that's been coughed into, that hasn't produced red?
No, not off the top of my head.
No. Immediately, I thought of Gran Torino.
Could be a spin-off, couldn't it? Special episode examining coughing into hankies through cinema history.
Could get a whole podcast out of it.
Yeah, could do.
I saw it again recently, Bohemian Rhapsody. That had that in there.
Did it? I've not seen that yet. Is it good?
It's good for what it is. It's a standard uplifting biopic that the British seems to do quite well.
Yes. Yep.
But there's no edge to it whatsoever, if you know what I mean.
Mm. I asked Roy if he'd seen it, because I wanted his opinion as an out gay man in his 40s. I fucking hate Queen. Right, okay. Well, did you enjoy the film, though? Well, it could have done with an extra half an hour of, like, the real story, where he wore a massive slag.
Right, okay, that's not very positive, though, is it?
I know, but fucking hell.
It's supposed to be a biopic, though, isn't it, at the same time? He's got a point there.
Yeah.
My favourite bit of a film where they didn't know how to, like, they needed some sort of gaydar to let the audience know that, so everyone just wore the same Freddie Mercury moustache.
Yes.
Well, like literally every single gay person had the same moustache on.
Really, just to make it that obvious?
Yeah.
It's Oscar bait completely missing the original point in it, really.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
I've not seen it, but I don't want to.
No. Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2, Mr. Wing.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about the credit sequence, sorry to interject, you know, I would love to analyse a credit sequence.
Yeah.
This film was written by WWE wrestler of the Ruthless Aggression era, Charlie Haas.
Yes, I did notice this.
One could say that it has got the Haas effect.
Hey.
Nicely done.
Well done. Mm. But yeah, so...
Just the other thing to note from this scene is Mogwai, he watches a bit of Rambo.
Loves a bit of Rambo.
Yeah, he does, which will come in later.
Which will come in.
Calls it
Rambo. Yeah.
And then, as the building gets knocked down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And Gizmo sort of runs out and then gets scooped up by the two most irritating yuppie wankers imaginable. Just like the cliche Gordon Gekko 80s tosser.
Yeah. Cut two. Yeah.
Cut two.
Yeah. So we catch up with Billy and Kate, who now work in New York.
Yep.
And, you know, get pushed around by everyone in New York being people from New York, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my big city remake cliche of the week, is people commenting on the character of New York.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Didn't get a scene transition with a subway train, so I'm a little bit pissed off.
Yeah.
It's not quite Turtles 3.
Yeah, and it's not quite handled as well as the City That Never Sleeps tag that he was given in Godzilla. No.
He does nearly get hit with a yellow cab, so I'll give him that.
So they work at. They both work at Clamp Industries, don't they?
They do, yes. The building where nothing works, and it's established very quickly with the high-speed revolving door.
Yes.
Have a powerful day. Beautiful.
It's, do you know what it reminds me of? This little bit and a lot of the stuff with like the automated nature of the building stuff. It reminds me of a very sort of PG, soft RoboCop situation.
Yes.
There is an element of RoboCop to it.
Later on when we see a Clamp's room, it reminded me of like the boardroom scene at the end.
Yeah, the exact layout
and furniture and everything.
With the big wall of TVs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was really nice. Might have even been a reference. Yeah, I don't know, because there's a lot of references coming up. So we have Billy works as an illustrator. He's sort of like doing a drawing for what they have in mind for Chinatown, from the looks of it.
Just a shitty little scribble that he's done, isn't it, really?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Bit of a doodle. He wouldn't get him a Beano, really, if we're being honest.
Yeah, fucking hell. No, in reality, though, it is a beautiful drawing he's done.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Needs more trees, though.
Does need more trees. Elms, possibly.
Yes.
Yes.
The building as well is established to be quite dystopian because there's cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got like a really funny scene of a guy taking a fag break in the boiler room and he's just caught out and fired.
Which is a cameo. I know that guy's face.
I do as well, and I can't point to where it's from.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a low coercivity reading. All right, give me a waveform on 10.
Mr. Forrester, I have a potential violator, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's an unauthorized break period, my friend. You don't work here anymore. Do we have a problem communicating? You're gone. Terminated. End of medical benefits. That's right. Clean out the desk. 1 hour. And thanks so much. Very nice, Francis.
Alert personnel, we have a career opportunity in level 7.
It's not Bob Picardo, is it?
No, it's not. He's one of
them. He comes up later, doesn't he?
He's already been in. He's the doctor.
That's right. Yeah,
no.
Sorry.
No, it's like an oldish guy with white hair.
White hair.
He has been in something that quite familiar, and it's just not springing to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure someone will tell me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not the first of the cameos, though.
No, it's certainly not. Certainly not.
And we also... Billy goes and sees Fred, is his name? Is it his grandpa?
Is this the Dracula guy?
It is, yes.
Yeah. It's a guy who's basically playing Al Lewis, who was Grandpa Munster.
Right.
And he looks exactly like him.
Okay.
And he does that awesome little thing, which is like the Elvira, Billy Joe Bob sort of late night monster vision sort of parody.
That's right,
Fucking love that.
I do. I wish there was something like that over here still. I tell you, it was quite an American thing, wasn't it? Especially on like TNT and all that in America.
There was a really late on, like early 90s one with Vincent Price, and it was Canadian, and he must have been getting paid fucking buttons, but he was like fighting with puppets and shit, and just being Vincent Price, and really enjoying himself, even though he is actually just shoveling turds. Love Vincent Price. And Octoman is the film being shown that night.
Right.
Although he says it's Attack of the Octopus People, and that is the creator of the Gremlins' first ever work as a makeup artist.
Well, there you go, ooh, mate.
Yeah, he made the Octoman. Yeah. So he's come a long way.
Them references.
Them references, though.
Speaking of references, we very quickly established that Mr. Clamp doesn't like that sort of programming, really. He likes everything in colour.
Yes.
And immediately... There's also, loads of references to the fact that Mr. Clamp is basically Ted Turner.
Yes, essentially. He's basically Ted Turner / Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And another important bit of information he gives Billy in this sequence is that there's a company doing weird genetic modifications upstairs, which is, I think, do we buzz off there next?
We do, yeah, to the old Splice.
Splice of Life.
Splice of Life. Great name.
Fucking superb. And who, my friend, is the proprietor of Splice O' Life?
Oh, it's got to be Christopher Lee, isn't it?
Yeah,
fucking Dracula himself.
Oh, Christopher Lee playing a mad scientist. Sign me up.
And he gets a shipment and he's just like, rabies? I've already got rabies.
Yes.
Walks away in a huff.
Yeah. And takes that lass's fucking sneezy tissue.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have blood on it.
No, oh, there we go.
There we go.
Oh,
we've solved the mystery.
We're two for two now, aren't we?
There we are,
Fucking Jesus.
And as well as an elephant and a talking cow in there, Gizmo is also in there.
And a camel. Yeah. There's a camel just walking through a reception. You can fucking tell at no point a producer was on set looking over his shoulder.
No. No. And all the actors. And, like, you can see, if you look very carefully at Christopher Lee in these scenes, yeah, he's trying not to piss himself laughing.
No. He's enjoying himself.
He's having the time of his life.
Yeah. Well, don't mess, definitely. Yeah, so they take a look at Gizmo, and it turns out he likes 50s rock and roll. Mm-hmm. He does a little dance sequence, but that's Gizmo's way of trying to escape.
Yep.
And Andy's just caught, so...
Yeah, and the delivery guy comes and hears the gremlin call.
Yep.
Which he starts whistling as he goes mm-hmm. around his deliveries.
Yeah.
Which is a very clever way of...
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up the other C word there.
Do you know what? I don't think it is that contrived, because it's kind of like it fits with the fucking aesthetic and the fun factor of the film.
The fact
it?
That there's a genetics lab, a horror movie screening thing, and let's go with another 90s cliche, wacky antics with a microwave.
Yeah.
It's all in one building.
Yeah.
For the sake of just fucking them out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what CNN or something like that was actually like. In the early 90s.
Yeah,
you never know.
So Billy then hears the delivery guy humming the gremlin call and asks him where he heard it. It's quite good. Mm-hmm. You might need a clip, though.
I will put in a proper clip.
Wasn't that good?
No. Eleanor's impression is fantastic.
I bet she's got a good pitch, hasn't she, for that?
Yes.
Can I help you?
Yeah. I get a delivery for Dr. Catheter.
I can sign for it.
Hey, what kind of stuff do they do in there anyway?
We're not supposed to talk about it.
Very good.
You should have heard that. A bit sad now. Yeah. So, yeah, Billy goes and investigates.
Yep. And ultimately, after going through a few evil science lab tropes, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah, he rescues Gizmo and hides him back in his office.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Well, only that Mr. Clamp is here.
Whoa! Well, Clampy.
Yeah.
Turns up to a fucking trumpet fanfare as well.
Of course he does. Yeah, of course he does.
Actually sounds like the RoboCop soundtrack when he turns up. I love it.
Yeah. It is a bit RoboCop, isn't it, in parts?
It is. In all the good ways, though.
Yeah,
of course.
It's more of a RoboCop film than the RoboCop remake was.
Oh, yeah. Let's not go there. Sorry. Well, I don't know. Might go there one day, I don't know.
I don't think it don't count.
Does it count?
No, it's not
It's not really
film.
A horror film, is it? It's
more
sci-fi.
No, yeah.
Let's not go there, ever. If that's all right. The same applies to the Total Recall remake. Let's never go there either.
Yeah. Although we could squeeze in RoboCop 2.
Do we have to, though?
RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2. I watched the first 10 minutes of recently. It's not very good, is it?
RoboCop 2?
Yeah, it's not very good.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I just like the first one.
Okay. No, yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, RoboCop 2 is pretty sound. It's fucking savage. RoboCop 3, dog shit.
Now that's really bad.
Yeah, RoboCop the TV series, alright, okay. Alright.
Flogging the dead horse a bit there, though.
I'm not doing anything on a Sunday afternoon. Let's watch RoboCop the series.
Which was fine. If surprisingly grim for a cartoon.
No, the live action.
There's an actual. I didn't even know there's live action.
Yeah.
Cartoon was decent. I said surprisingly grim.
There was a cartoon.
With RoboCop.
Yeah.
It's all on YouTube.
Oh fucking hell! Well, fuck you guys then.
Right. Oh, okay.
There's also a live action Nightmare on Elm Street TV series, Friday the 13th, but Jason's not in it.
Oh, but there's The Nightmare on Elm Street one, yeah, it's like he did like his own version of the Twilight Zone, didn't he?
Yeah, Freddy's Nightmares.
Yeah, that's the one.
Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That used to be on after Nitro on TNT again.
Of course it did.
Yeah,
of course it did.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I think David Cronenberg might have directed an episode of the Friday the 13th TV series. I would have to look into it.
You would have to delve on that,
but I think he might have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2. So Mr. Clamp is very impressed with Billy's drawing, although, you know, the elm tree is a bit too much.
Yeah. People think elm Dutch disease.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm with him on that.
We do. Yeah. But he is so impressed, you know, that Billy's boss, a redhead with glasses and a thick Boston accent, suddenly
Boston
thinks he's going places.
Going places.
Maybe that was just a bit Irish. I'd better get not really.
That was Yorkshire.
You're going places, Chris.
Going places, lad.
Do you know who she looks like? And I'd have this is it's not her, but she does look a lot like Kevin McAllister's mum from Home.
I was going to say she looks like the mum from Beetlejuice. Yeah. Looks more like her, because she's the same actress, but like she looks more evil in Beetlejuice, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Beetlejuice. Yeah, yeah.
Don't like Beetlejuice.
Do you not?
Not really.
Ooh, interesting.
It's all right.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's got the worms from Dune in it.
Well, yeah, true. It has its moments. Yeah. Are they making a sequel to that as well?
Oh, they've been on about that for years and years.
I once worked with the guy that wrote Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah.
The tropical set sequel.
Nice. That'll have been worth a watch if they'd have made it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't watch that.
Not to me.
Boston.
Back to Boston.
Boston.
So, yeah, so she wants to rummage him because, you know...
I was going to say, when is that word going to come up?
Yeah, there we go. It is. Straight away.
Yeah.
To get higher up the corporate hierarchy, yeah. So... while they head off, Billy tasks Kate with collecting Gizmo and taking him back home.
Yep.
But wouldn't you know it, here comes a contrived bit.
No.
Yeah. Way.
Stole my gimmick, but yeah. Carry on.
Yeah. Sorry, listeners. Although it's pretty knowing, in all fairness, where Gizmo's basically stood there, gawping while the maintenance guy fixes the water fountain. This water fountain, which apparently is quite projectile and...
Yes.
If you're thirsty but you're like 20 feet away, then you're okay.
You're exhausted. Yeah, you're all good. If you go in for a close-up on it, you're going to lose some front teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently this janitor is also a cameo, but I can't remember who he is.
He's someone who's in a lot of Joe Dante's films. I can't remember his name. Yeah. If Josh Cluedo was here, he'd be all over this shit.
He can have this one,
he? Yeah, he would.
Been off that tree, get Josh in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the line.
Absolutely.
We can just go for takeaways, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I do apologise, chaps.
My favourite bit during all this thought was when the announcer says, now on the Clamp Network, showing Casablanca, now in colour and with a happier ending.
I was going to say, now in colour.
Yeah, yeah. That's brilliant. There's bits like that throughout that are just hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So Gizmo gets splashed with water, obviously. Oh, I mean, in the end, it's... The water splashes up onto Billy's picture, but it trickles down through the easel bit and down on him. So it was designed to be contrived, but still quite contrived in all fairness.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So all sorts of other Mogwai then appear from him as per the first film. And all the characters here, you've got an evil one, a stupid one, a stupid one, a stupid one.
The intelligent one.
That comes a bit later, John, the genetic splicing, then you've got another stupid one.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate, who, in all fairness, I don't think she'd know what it looked like. I don't think she got that much of a proper look at him during the first film, so she just picks up one of the stupid ones and takes it home with her.
Yeah.
Quality reference to King Kong here.
Mm.
He's on top of the model of a Chrysler building.
Oh, yes.
Like the little model planes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah,
I had to go for another trip to the toilet then.
Strong. It gets shoved down a vent, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I forgot to mention this bit. The beginning of Gizmo the Great Big Bitch.
he's jobbing out left, right and centre, basically.
I mean...
Fuck's sake.
I must admit, I got really fucking frustrated with this because he's just like, oh no, they're coming to get me. I'm just going to let him do it.
He does have his redemption moment, though, doesn't he, later on?
But why does he take all that time to go, oh yeah, I know how to do this.
I'm a fucking badass, yeah.
Well, you know. Sometimes it's about the fall and the climb, Wilson.
Absolutely, it's a redemption arc, isn't it?
What a bitch.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. What a professional.
Yeah, no.
That was me, man.
Oh.
Okay.
Put Shazza on.
Mush, I'm in the middle of a podcast.
What's one?
Okay.
Am I right to ring you back? It'll probably be...
We'll keep that in.
Hi, Sharon.
Shaz.
I think you should ring her back.
I'm ringing her back. Yeah, yeah.
I rang up to put was in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah, it's not an urgent one, and Rob and Willie are here, and they probably want to say hello.
Hiya.
Oh, hi. Okay.
No, hiya, Sharon.
Ringing. Hello.
Hello.
I'm just ringing to say that I've got work this weekend, you see. That's why I couldn't talk to you this morning.
Oh, no, that's all right. I thought I was trying to ring you early, just to see if I could beat them to it.
Oh, no, no, we have to... we start about 9:30, and then tomorrow I think about 9 o'clock. I know, and it's a killer. And most of the meeting I missed because it just kept cutting out, so...
I will call you tomorrow evening then to wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, is it your birthday?
All right then. I'll meet you tomorrow.
Say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow?
Happy birthday tomorrow.
All right. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Watching old Mission Impossible. Really good.
Oh, the series?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Speak to you tomorrow.
See you in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.
That has to stay in, obviously.
Gremlins 2.
Where are we?
The awkward dinner date between Billy and the Boston lass.
Yeah. In a fucking wanky bar as well.
Yeah, it's
fucking shit, innit?
This is more like Wall Street bullshit, innit?
Yeah.
Very yuppie central, it's got to be said.
I'm going to take you to this place to eat some absolute dog shit. Yeah.
Oh, yes, please.
And pay a lot of money for
it. $300, please.
Moose antler.
Wank.
So, then back at home, Kate's dealing with the stupid Mogwai.
She's also really fucking mad.
Yes.
Because that bitch kissed him on the cheek, even though he wasn't interested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes in with a lippy on him, doesn't he?
Yeah. Hashtag me too.
Okay, Gizmo. Billy said to make sure and feed you before midnight, but he didn't say what kind of stuff you like to eat, so I hope this is okay. It's a chicken, some mashed potatoes. Oh, God. Try to be a little bit more careful around here, okay, Gizmo? You don't really have the money to replace things. There you go.
And then she gets home. Sorry, he gets home, and then she sees the lipstick.
Yeah.
And she's a bit annoyed. Plus, she's got this little shithead in her house ruining everything.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a cat. It's gone mental, you know, and you get carried away sometimes.
Yeah.
Trash the fucking kitchen, shit everywhere.
I wouldn't know about that. Mine keeps running away from me.
Oh, poor Wilson.
If you're listening to this, Millie, you know.
Regular listener.
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt you. For fuck's sake.
I'm going to hurt you.
I'm going to love you to death.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's happening. We'll keep the listeners updated on your cat situation as we go in episodes in the future.
Yeah, thank you,
Willie and Millie.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
Well
very
done.
Good.
Strong.
And just to add to the stress, not about my cat in the film. Mm-hmm. the Gillisons then turn up randomly. A night before they were supposed to turn up.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. With like a flashing camera and everything.
Every time Dick Miller comes on screen in anything, I'm just so happy.
I mean, he is fucking brilliant, isn't
he? Yeah. He's in like 5 seconds of Terminator. Mm. It's my favourite bit in Terminator.
Oh, great.
Who could that be? It's so late. Should I get it?
Yeah, you better get it. If you ever want to get out of here, you better be quiet.
Who is it?
That's better.
Oh, surprise! Mr. and Mrs. Butterman! Okay. We thought you were coming tomorrow.
Yeah, we thought so too, but the guys in my old outfit, they changed the date of the reunion. We wanted to call you, but we had to get on a Greyhound.
32 hours. Oh, we're sorry for coming here so late.
Oh, that's okay. Can I get you some coffee or some tea?
Little pickers.
Oh, yeah. The cake blew up.
Boy, Billy, this is some crazy city. We tried to get a cab up here. Do you know they got Russian guys driving cabs in this burg? I mean, what if somebody got into a cab with a briefcase full of atomic secrets or something like that? Don't people care about that anymore?
Seems Murray, like... remember what Dr. Kaplan said? We're going to be nice and calm. Murray was a little distressed after, you know, what happened with those...
I'm fine. I was a little jumpy there for a while. So... What was that?
It's all right, dear. I heard it, too.
Of course you heard it, too. What does that mean?
And I like how he just ramp up his casual xenophobia up to 10, because I think in the first time we just commented on, like, the TV being a cheap Chinese knockoff, something like that. And this time it's like...
He's going on about Russian cab drivers, like Romanians. KGB.
Yeah, so basically it's round about this point that Billy realises that the Mogwai they've got in the flat is not, in fact, Gizmo.
No.
Which means that the bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got to go back. So the Semigilsons away, get a hotel, and they go back into the building where, wouldn't you know it, anarchy has just started.
Yeah.
Because a couple of the Mogwai have got into the ice cream bar.
Another wanky 90s thing, ice cream bars.
Yeah.
And people getting really picky about their ice cream.
It's like frozen yogurt all over.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
That's not a thing. But he gets nicked, doesn't he? Because he kicks up a fuss and gets arrested.
Yeah.
And
well, because he tries to break into the in the basement to turn off the water. So yeah. It's like any fires or that lot, they can't multiply quickly. But yeah, there's cameras everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah. Mm. So he gets arrested, and then he gets bailed out the next morning. And this is my favourite bit of the film. Is the little bit where she bails him out and they're walking out of the police station and they're in the middle of getting a load of mimes out of the back of a police van. Fucking absolutely kills me.
Yeah. Just like, think, what did those mimes do?
I know, yeah.
Brilliant. And in the 6.5 hours, there's like different cocoons of the Mogwais, mm-hmm. So there's like even more of the little shits now in the building.
Yeah.
So... Billy goes straight back into the building and he tries to warn the doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know, about it. And this is like one of my favourite like little bits as well, where all of the doctor, it's not actually the doctor, you know.
We are referring to Bob Picardo at this point.
Yeah, we are. Just going to call him a doctor. Why not? My podcast can do what I want.
We're just guests.
Yes,
just guests.
Yeah, that's it. We're here. Recurring guests.
Oh, thanks for letting us on, Willie.
Thanks, mate.
Hi.
Did you know that Wilson has to pay £20 in petrol every time he comes to record this podcast? Yes. Therefore, it's his fucking podcast.
Absolutely.
And he does what he wants.
It did say that on my Christmas card last year.
Yeah. I'm going to do a counter. Like, next year, when I do the end of year awards again, I am going to go back through every episode and see if I can track how many references there's been to Wilson's petrol bill.
No, in all fairness, petrol's gone down again, so it's more like 19 quid.
Has it gone down again?
Yeah. I'm now paying 1.14 a litre. Lincoln,
don't look
mate,
at me.
Cheap as fuck.
I'm coming over there for my diesel. Diesel's 10p a litre more than petrol at the moment. It's an outrage. I'm furious.
Yeah.
But you do get more miles to the gallon out of diesel.
I suppose you do, yeah.
You do, yeah.
How the fuck would you know you can't even drive?
Well, I'm just trying to fucking join in.
Sorry. Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2.
I'm driving a Warthog on Halo Night. I know about fucking... four wheels on the floor.
Yeah, you know a lot about the like logistics of cars and car travel. For example, when we had our film day the other day, last week, whatever it was, Dave had an appointment and he said, I'll text you when I get out. I won't be out until at least, was it 11:45 you thought you were going to be out?
No, it was 11:15.
Yeah. No, that's the actual time you got out.
Yeah.
But you told me 11:45.
Well, I was sitting in the NHS...
And then he texted me saying, oh, I'm out.
I was sat in the NHS waiting room. I thought, well, I'm going to be here for a fucking while. Loads of jobbers just sat there coughing, pretending to be sick. And then, poof, done, straight away. I'm like, oh.
Hey. That cough's no joke, mate. We've heard about that in Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Absolutely.
If someone coughs three times, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Think on that.
Go fuck yourself.
Gremlins 2.
Anyway... So they all start making references to the his underlings about the rules of the gremlin, the three rules, which is don't let it touch water, don't feed it after midnight, and the other one, no.
We need to both be quite loud for a minute because Dave's opening a pack.
Oh, okay.
Direct sunlight in it.
In direct sunlight. La 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 la. Dave's opening chicken. La 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 la. But yeah,
smooth.
But yeah, any time you vape, we can clearly hear it. But yet you don't hide it anyway.
No, because he told me it was charming and it was part of my appeal. Was that when he used to listen to mine and Michael's podcast on the way to work, he used to just kind of do a little.
Dave's vaping.
Dave.
Yeah, but all you can hear in podcast most time is.
So, Gremlins 2.
Yeah, so they poke fun at the different rules, like saying, well, what if he's got like a sesame seed in his tooth and, you know, it goes down his throat after midnight? Does that count?
Different time zones, yeah, it's always midnight somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. What if one of them eats something at 11 o'clock, but then he gets something stuck in his teeth?
Yeah, like a caraway seed or a sesame seed.
Whatever, right.
And then after 12 o'clock, it comes out. Now, he didn't eat that after midnight.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't make the rules, okay?
Rules. I don't believe this.
Oh, wait a minute. What about this? What if they're eating in an airplane and they cross a time zone? I mean, it's always midnight somewhere.
Classic.
And while the kids keep taking a piss out of him, because obviously they don't believe him, out comes a monstrous mogwai from the control centre and bites one of them in the neck.
Is it a fully transformed gremlin at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, which is quite a good kill.
Because it kicks off a bit now, doesn't it? Because this is where it all starts kicking off and then they set a fire and all the sprinklers go off and they multiply those.
No, I think, don't we have a cooking show first? Sets this off.
Which is my second favourite part of the film, Microwave with Marge.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Just a big fucking row of microwaves, like, again, like, finger on the button of 1990s bullshit. Yeah.
And they have to do the thing as well, because not everyone had a microwave at this point.
No.
They have to explain microwave, like, rules, which is, if you put metal things in a microwave, it'll explode.
Yeah, I wonder what. I wonder if there'll be a sequence with a gremlin putting metal stuff in a microwave in about 2 minutes.
Maybe.
Turns out, the fucking is.
Yes. But before then, we establish Kate is like a tour guide for the building.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of her tour guide is a very stereotypical Japanese cameraman. Yes, very enthusiastic Japanese cameraman.
This is also a cameo, apparently, by the way. I don't know who he is, but...
That hat that she wears, though.
This is the thing about
gold.
Yeah.
This is the thing about all these cameos, like, oh, yeah, it's this and this guy. I'm not being funny, but like even like main stars I don't recognise most of the time. It's just there's a guy who's playing this part and watching the story. I really don't care.
I'm useless at spotting cameos unless it's Stanley.
Well, I like the fact that it doesn't ever grind to a halt to say, look who it is, kids! Yeah. It just fucking gets on with it. If so, you know who it is, top end. If you don't, it's a film.
It's basically the reverse of Sharknado 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kurt Angle doing his fucking New York accent.
Yeah. Now available on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2. So, yeah, wouldn't you know it, there's a microwave there. Lots of gremlins up here.
Yeah.
And there's lots of metal pans, so in they go. And yeah, it sets off the sprinklers and they sort of multiply a bit more.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It all kicks off now, doesn't it? And there's like, it just cuts between like scenes with all the players that were established within the building, like having a torrid time with gremlins.
Yeah.
Like at one point, I think this comes up soonish, old Clampy has to blend one in his office.
He does, that's one of the next things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before then, we have Gizmo. He's being photocopied by another one of the gremlins.
It's fucking savage, isn't it?
What a bitch.
Oh, God. He's got. There's some heat with Wilson and Gizmo in there here.
A little bit.
God.
He's just sick of him jobbing out.
Just
all the time,
laying down like, I'm defenceless. Fucking grow up here.
When they put the photocopier down on him, just in my head, I've got JR shouting, what's so funny about that? There's people in there. Right, everyone silent for 1 second. I'm not entirely sure one of these mics isn't making a rumble.
A Royal Rumble?
No, we're good.
All right, thank God for that.
The greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah. That never happened.
Oh, wow.
No, never happened. Yeah, for the next scene, we get a top-end kill with Mr. Clamp.
Yeah.
Shredding one of the Gremlins. One of the Gremlins, yeah, and that's when we sort of establish a sort of team going forward to him, Billy and Doctor to try and find a way to get these Gremlins out of the building.
Yeah, I feel like that might be Kill of the Week. I mean, it's Contender.
Oh, actually, I've got written down Kill of the Week.
Yeah.
Considering he screams, "Get off my tie," while he's doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about... I think he's really good in this film.
Yeah,
because, like, the Clamp character is kind of like, really, he's a nice guy. He's like throughout the film.
I was just going to say, I really like him at this point.
Yeah. But there's little twangs of cuntery.
Yeah.
That are just kept in there, like the tie thing.
Yeah. It's like he's absent-minded with some sort of higher functioning autism.
Yeah.
So he's completely likable, but also at the same time doesn't really get the situation.
Yeah.
It's sort of like this charismatic leader with like great ideas, but just completely unaware of how humans interact.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot like what apparently a lot like Ted Turner was back in the day, from from my very basic research.
I can't imagine an avid WCW fan like you doesn't have a higher than most people level of knowledge of Ted Turner.
He's a god.
All I know about Ted Turner...
That's a little bit of a jump there.
all I like, if you play like word association style, when someone says Ted Turner, I just think Tash.
To be fair.
Because he had a fucking ridiculous Tash.
It was a cracking Tash. No, but he was like one of these... I keep saying was, he's still alive. I think he just kept saying, how about we have a 24-hour news channel, or how about a 24-hour channel dedicated to cartoons, and just like come out with these random ideas out of thin air, and they'd be absolutely brilliant, but they'd be based out of nothing. It's a bit like how in Gremlins 2, like, Mr. Clamp keeps coming out with all sorts of these ideas, just like out of nothing, with no context or anything like that. And apparently that's a lot like what Ted Turner was like.
Right,
it's like
He's not dead.
Unless he dies in the next week before we release this.
He's definitely not dead.
Then rest in peace, Ted Turner. I'm sorry for your loss, Jane Fonda. I'm very sorry.
He's definitely not dead, though, is he?
Maybe.
Let me just check.
Let's just check whether Wilson's in poor taste.
It'll be really awkward otherwise.
He'll have to censor himself in audacity then, won't he?
You're feeling a bit bitter about that, Dave. My phone's not working. Talk amongst yourselves. Here we go.
Fucking editing my edits. Fucking messing with man's levels. What are you doing?
I'm not really hurting with that one.
I've not even told you a bit where I've also, last couple of episodes, I've had to reduce the file size.
Oh, I've been sending them to you larger.
Yeah, you've been giving me like 250 megabytes and it needs to be a bit smaller than that, really.
So. I'll put it back to 128k.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't understand.
Keep the masters, but yeah, that's how. I've just had to reduce it.
Thank you. I will keep the masters, Chris. That's very generous of you.
Yeah. Right, Chris Ted Masters. Turner.
Ooh!
Ted Turner is alive.
Hey!
He's 80.
So not for much longer, then.
Oh, that's harsh.
Fucking hell, Wilson. We nearly pulled you back there.
Yeah, and
you're going to die, though.
Jane Fonda probably won't be that upset they got divorced in 2001.
Excellent, Wilson. Yeah, but Wilson doesn't give a fuck after 2001, does he?
It was the death of WCW, what did it?
Yeah.
That was the last straw for Jane Fonda.
The death of Jane Fonda? What? Anyway.
Moving on before Wilson kills everyone.
He's going to kill us all.
Jane Fonda's still alive, isn't she?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get your phone back out.
For fuck's sake. Right, is the next bit the film critic, and is the film critic Gene Siskel? Because I think it is.
No, it's not. It's someone else.
Is it not?
No.
It looks like Gene Siskel. Or was he dead by this point? I'm not on Wikipedia all day.
They say his name in the film, and it's actually him.
Jane Fonda's not dead either.
Hooray!
Yay.
Jane Fonda is 80 also. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is near there, actually. There's a bit at first where Kate gets stuck in the lift. And, well, the gremlins are causing all sorts of anarchy anyway, but she gets the old lift snaps and plummets down lots of floors.
Absolutely.
And the only reason why she's saved is because there's loads of gremlins underneath and she squishes against it as a nice little cushion.
It's very difficult for, like, with this film.
Sorry.
There's so much going on all the time.
That was Solid Cream, by the way.
There's so much going on all the time that like I've missed loads of stuff in my notes because I was faced with the choice of either making notes about all the stuff that was going on and thus I would just end up not watching the film properly or just missing bits because there's fucking so much going on.
So what you're saying is that this podcast that keeps diverting here, there and everywhere is in tribute to the format of Gremlins 2. This is deliberate what we're doing. We are professionals.
It's fine, we're just
homaging Joe Dante, aren't we?
Yeah, and Dave likes to, you know, make sure that he eats while I'm recording.
Is that chicken?
It's just chicken.
Not eating all day.
It's nice, that. I like a bit of chicken. Yeah. Salad cream as well. Did you just fart?
No, that was actually a fart.
No, that wasn't me.
That sounded exactly like
that was a fart.
Well, that was my phone on the table.
Yeah, of course it was.
We believe you.
So yeah, bit in the lift.
Yeah,
she doesn't die.
Yeah, then the film critic, which I really like this, like referencing back to the first Gremlins, but as we'll see in a future episode, it's not exactly the first film to do this.
No, it isn't, and it's very meta as well.
Fun trivia, he gave the first film like 1 out of 5 stars, and he said it was just childish nonsense. So they put him in it, and he was like, yeah, all right, banter, let's do it. And he gave this one 3 out of 5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's very meta, that.
A little bit. The fact that it grinds to a halt and the film exists on a VHS within the fucking what?
Yeah.
Well, that's going even further than that in a couple of scenes' time.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
But first, we're back in the lab with Christopher Lee walking in with one of the fucking cabbages from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
I absolutely love that.
Yep.
Every time he walks into a shot, it's just like this fucking harpsichord organ music.
Yeah.
Now, is this the bit where the bat gremlin becomes tolerant to daylight?
That's right. Well, this is where we get the genetically modified gremlin. So you've got the bat one, as you say, and this is where we get the gremlin that can now talk as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And the little scene with his dad and the gremlin in the concrete is majestic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely majestic.
To be fair, you can sort of see the punchline coming a bit, but you just think, oh, okay, no, that's pretty fine.
That's fine. Yeah. I knew it was coming, but I fucking wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And there is, in this little section, another cameo, perhaps Wilson's favourite cameo of the film, I'm not sure, the Lego cameo.
Yes!
Okay. There it is.
Yeah, of course.
Queued it up.
Beautiful. I mean, I didn't like how they knocked it over, you know.
But
that was abuse of Lego,
down.
You know.
Yeah.
I won't tolerate that. But
are you going to make your own little gremlin, though?
I am, yeah. I must do at some point.
Yeah.
Dorable.
Yeah. And in the toy shop scene, what's Gizmo doing?
Getting fucked up again.
He's being a bitch again.
Oh, dear.
Jesus.
Oh. Fucking old Gizmo.
Not a fan of Gizmo.
No. So, we have...
Fuck off! What? I just put a bottle in the bin and you looked at me like I'd come into your house at Christmas and pissed on your kids.
There's a recycling box downstairs.
Well, you've got a plastic chocolate bottle in there. Okay, fine.
More like chocolate bottle.
What? Right, shall we get to the fucking bit we've all been
I've been at work all day. Nothing makes sense to me anymore.
Yeah, Dave, you haven't been at work all day.
No.
Wilson does proper work.
With an angry, hungry, out gay man. In his 40s, who is single. Had a whale of a time, me.
You love it. You like. Do you know what it's like? It's like open all hours, your place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like y'all.
Don't give Lee ideas for open all hours, Jesus Christ.
You're like David Jason and. What's his face? The Ronnie.
Barker.
Barker, that's it. I always get them mixed up, the two Ronnies.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Not a bad comparison.
No.
Yeah.
Much like that. Let's talk about the big cameo, shall we?
Yeah, well, Christopher Lee talks to Billy and the Doctor and like, is going through, like, he starts saying that he regrets ever getting into this and, you know, and all this, like, and basically seeing the fear of God in his eyes. But suddenly the film burns out. Which I wish I'd seen this in the cinema just to like get the initial reaction, because if they wouldn't know. I mean, in hindsight, if they'd have done a version of what would happen on VHS
believe they did do that
on VHS version.
Yeah, I believe, and I know the TV broadcast version that I had taped had this in, but the VHS version, as far as I'm aware, did have something specific for it.
Right, okay. Yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray obviously never did.
No.
Because that would be fucking expensive
just
to get Hulk back. But there is a VHS one.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, after, like, shadow puppets and all that lot, and I'm putting on some naughty films, shall we say.
Yep.
Yeah, the Cinema Russia gets Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He's just sat there, full gear on.
Peak Hulk Hogan. He was champion at this point.
He was champion. Year seven into his reign.
Yeah.
And fucking wearing his belt as well. That one must be uncomfortable, sat in the cinema seat with that belt, digging into his abs.
I think this was... well, actually, I think this might...
is this Thunder in Paradise time as well?
Well, no, I think this might have, as Jim Ross might say, this maybe exposes the business. Because I think this film was released on June the 7th, 1990. Right. Now, unless Hulk Hogan's cameo was shot really soon before it was released, which I don't think it would have been, I think that they shot this sequence with him in the belt before he won the belt, because I think he won the belt from Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania this year, when the MAGA powers explode.
Oh.
I only say that because I watched it recently.
That's an interesting one, because I think, regardless, you'd have him with a belt anyway, because he's like the recognisable character on WWF at the time, but yeah, that's like giving time in.
And not get punished for it.
Oh, there you go, then.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Billy Gunn probably saw this and thought, you fucking little shit fucking twat. It's a wig.
At least say this is my favourite bit of the film.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've just... It's gone meta, then it's gone really meta. It's just like completely breaking down like the foundations of...
When I saw it as a kid, it was just mind-blowing to just like... Because it is just Joe Dante's brain just falling out onto a piece of paper.
Yes.
And it's wonderful, because everything you want to see as a kid, and all the late-night movies you stayed up to watch, all the wrestling, you know, sensation that was going on at the time, the only thing it doesn't have is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, just tell us where you saw the things.
Don't patronize me, young man. They're real. I saw them.
I know, I've seen them too, but where?
In my laboratory. In Spice of Life.
Stupid name, I know, but
it wasn't my own.
These movies, madam. We don't make them.
I quit. Call the union. Call the National Guard. Those things have taken over the projector. They refuse to show the rest of the film. All they want to see is Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs.
Enough! I'll take care of this. We have gremlins in the projection.
Gremlins? In this theater? Now? Okay, you guys, listen up. People pay good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth. Do I have to come up there myself? Do you think the Grimsters can stand up to the Hulkster? Well, if I were you, I'd run the rest of Gremlins 2 right now.
Sorry, folks. It won't happen again.
Yeah. And it's little touches, which are the reason why I love this film. Like the mime bit. Mm-hmm. And another one of my favourite little touches is coming up immediately after the reel comes back on, where there's just a shot of panic breaking out on a corridor. Mm-hmm. And there's like loads of people coming out of a studio on crutches because they've been assaulted by the gremlins. And the studio is the studio for the Safety Channel. Just like little things like that, mm-hmm. like just the thought process that goes into it. It's very, very clever stuff.
It is. We get a couple of things as well. Fred, our Dracula type, he's previously well. He says here that you know he dreamt of working in current affairs and such. So he recruits the enthusiastic Japanese cameraman. You know, for a little scheme that'll come up in a minute. And
do you know how to work a camera? Work a camera? I am a camera.
Beautiful.
And we also get the weird bit with the electric gremlin.
And the roided female gremlin.
And the roided... That one's weird and I'm not...
That's really weird,
and
that shit.
Hasn't aged well.
No, it has not.
No. Female gremlin, you'd see that on a Saturday night in Corporation in Sheffield, to be fair.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
In fact, me and Rob have, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
The female gremlin's a weird one. Just don't tell Twitter about that one.
Yeah.
No.
They probably would kick off.
It's very much of its time.
Yes. Oh, and also, now Gizmo remembers that he watched Rambo earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it out. Why now? you passive little...
Away.
Oh, come on, let him have his redemption moment in peace.
Yeah.
The spider gremlin in this scene, though, is, like, legitimately quite fucking terrifying.
It's horrible stuff.
Yeah.
That's your horror touch there.
Yeah. Mm. With the noises it's making as well.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're from another film.
Right.
You know that kind of, like, hissy...
Yeah,
noise
yeah.
it makes? That's from something else. It's probably a giant spider movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've heard it in some 50s films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It is nasty.
And spider's webs are gross as well when the ginger woman's stuck in it.
What is it she says? Can someone please help me? I'm stuck in some sort of adhesive polymer material.
Yes! Fucking marvellous. So yeah, he has his big moment here, Gizmo, doesn't he? He gets his little headband on.
Yeah.
And he gets his little adorable little mini flaming... bow and arrow.
Little paperclip with a matching shit. Yeah. Fuck me, it's so cute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's adorable.
Wilson hates it because Wilson doesn't enjoy life, but
Wilson,
I'm a big
Wilson
fan.
Hates Gizmo and wants him to be killed.
At this point, yeah.
That's spicy, isn't it, that?
Spicy Willie!
Ooh! Big
Willie
file!
Spicy Willie! Spicy! Oh, that's spicy! Goddamn! Ooh, that's spicy! The Godfather Part 3 was the best. The Fog was boring. I prefer the remake. Ooh, spicy! Willie style.
Controversial Willie strikes again.
Big Willie style.
Fuck right off.
That's spicy, really.
That's
that.
Pretty spicy. Yeah. I mean, universally, is regarded across all cultures as a little bit of, like, just...
A cute little creature.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like hating Woody from Toy Story, mate.
Yeah. I'm starting to see why your cat fucking hates you.
Oh, my God. You've crossed the line there, mate. It's all right for you. I'm sat in the middle.
I'm going. I'm leaving forever.
Oh, don't leave. I bought extra cables for this setup.
Oh, okay.
And plus, we'll lose a third of our income from the International Redundancy Corporation.
Absolutely. So we're sponsoring this podcast, which is a piece of audio delivered via iTunes.
Or SoundCloud?
Mm-hmm. Initially designed for the iPod. Podcast.
Quite.
Gremlins
2.
Gremlins 2.
What happens next, Willie?
I don't know. I've lost it. At this
Hogan.
Point. So they capture the electric gremlin in like the phone system.
That's fucking weird. That
it is, yeah. That's just a weird sentence saying in the first place. But yeah, that'll come in handy later on. And they get a grand scheme where they're going to turn over clocks forward by 3 hours and pretend that it's nighttime to lure them all out into one place.
Yeah.
And this involves Mr. Clamp appearing in the street via a weird tube that goes up through through the concrete.
It's a skate pod.
It's a skate pod, as it were.
Yeah. I finally get to use my escape tunnel.
he leaves the building to give directions to put up like a night scene.
I love this backdrop. It's like something out of a fucking nativity.
Like little stars on it and all that lot. It's so cute. Now, that is cute.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. And Mr. Gillison as well, he sees the escape pod and he goes into it so he can go in the building. Where, wouldn't you know it, he saves Billy from being tied to a dentist chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Did I tune out or did I miss Billy being captured?
I don't think he did. Does he get clunked on the back of the head?
Yeah, I think it's like some proper Looney Tunes shit. I think he just gets clunked. Yeah.
Okay.
Like you literally, I think you actually see the shadows on the wall do the clunk on the back of the head.
Yeah.
It's that cartoony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, he's seen Stratford, he's like, wait, what?
Who? What?
I mean, there is so much shit being thrown at the wall at this point. There's so much stuff going on.
And most of my notes at this point just say more anarchy. More anarchy.
more nonsense, more anarchy.
Yeah, more anarchy going on. Yeah,
and the anarchy builds to a bit of a crescendo of, I guess it's probably, I would say, the most iconic scene of both of the Gremlins films, which is the New York, New York bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which is fucking, I mean, that shit does not get old.
No, it doesn't.
With the brain gremlin.
Yeah. Yes.
Has he done his interview on TV at this point?
He does his interview first, explaining what they want. And he shoots one of his fellow gremlins just because he can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then it starts going on about, you know, when he goes to see Broadway and, like, thinking aloud how to arrange it and all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just the logistics of the existence of the gremlins.
Yeah.
When it introduces that fucking scene and you're looking through a TV monitor, and it's literally Dracula from the Munsters interviewing a fucking gremlin with glasses on. Yes. If anyone had walked in halfway through you watching this, it would be just like explaining a Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, which is impossible.
You just have to hit pause and say, right, okay.
Right, have you got 10 minutes?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and you just have to go from scratch. Yeah.
You mean there's a triple steel cage match in WCW? How does that work? No, so, Wilson.
So what you're saying is there's a cage, I mean, there's dogs outside the cage. Get
on from hell match, yeah.
Some brilliant fucking bored-looking Dobermans.
Yeah. So,
get him. Failed gimmick. Failed gimmick.
Electric cage match, you showed me that once.
Oh yeah, that's TNA. Yeah,
yeah. I walked in on you once with Devon Dudley just holding the cage going
while someone turned the lights off and on.
Absolutely, and the crowd are literally throwing fucking everything at the ring.
Chanting Fire Russo.
Second episode of the very referencing Vince.
I know, yeah. It's going to start like, if he starts listening to us, he'll start like giving us the big one on Twitter like he does with everyone else.
Yeah. It's no wonder I keep getting banned from the Hover subreddit, because they're like, fucking isn't. You're on about fucking Vince Russo.
Oh, hello! Just in time to do your Gizmo impression. Oh, no!
Not performing Monkey Dave.
Oh, no. Go on, do you, Clyde.
So,
can you get past, babe?
Hey, don't worry, we've already shifted around in the episode.
Yeah, we've taken a phone call from Dave's mum, don't worry, it's fine.
Yeah. I had the microphone and kept hissing, so.
What happens next,
Wilson? Spider sausages. So, okay, good.
Good, very good.
So, we've already sort of covered, like, Kate rescues our red-headed Boston, a woman from the cobwebs.
Well, some kind of adhesive polymer material.
Yeah, with Gizmo making a save with his bloody frame thrower. Okay, you know, redemption, fine, whatever.
It's a sick finish of that, though, mate.
And so they all like group up together, like including like Billy the Doctor and not the Doctor. I think he's gone at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kate, I love this scene as well, where Kate's someone references Lincoln, and Kate starts going into this long story, like
just
back
shit
of her
from
first.
Nowhere,
film.
You know.
Can we just not now though? Can we just fucking do the gram? Not now, later.
Yeah. The beard and then his head on a little girl.
So good.
It's just like, yeah, in a lot of other films they have this moment where they just fucking grind to a halt and someone pulls some exposition from absolutely fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
But here it's like, no, we need to do a thing.
Look at that, like, Kimmy, the original one, it's just like, whoa, where did that come from? Fucking hell. And they sort of built up to having some sort of bad memory, but Jesus, what? Okay, right, moving on.
Come on.
Yeah. Old lady out the window, you know, needs to do that instead. So the night scene is up and everything, and they're all like, all the gremlins are gathered up together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's Billy, that sprays water all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they do is they transfer the call from Mr. Clamp's office to the main lobby area where the electric gremlin escapes and electrocutes them all.
Good techers, though.
Yeah.
It's very good, yeah.
Some of the best practical effects I've ever seen as well.
Yes,
man. Yeah.
Melting gremlins, fuck me.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it basically destroys the whole building, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good because the building was a shit house anyway.
It was a shit house, yeah. It was.
Which Mr. Clamp, you know, he comes in afterwards, you know, him like doing the heroic shot, you know, with like all sorts of like bodyguards or whatever right behind him.
Oh, and he fucking stacks it straight away as well.
Yeah.
Oh. He has that little moment with the ginger woman as well, doesn't he?
Where he does,
a little
bit
of implied potential future rummaging to be had there.
I think one of my favourite bits in this is when one of the gremlins squirts. And a guy just absolutely stacks it with a shotgun.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everything all right? Moved. All right? As you were.
Carry on.
Yeah. And Mr. Clamp, in his infinite wisdom, he like makes Fred the new news anchor, like 6 o'clock every evening.
Yeah.
So tells the Japanese guy to ease up on the caffeine.
Yep. And then
that's racist.
Well, he says that, though, doesn't he?
I know, but
it's not me being racist.
No, I know.
Fucking blip patrol over there.
I know, yeah. That'll get beep. Blipped. That'll get put through Audacity.
I'm just going to beep you for everything during this episode.
You fucking like?
That's how your fucking sound guard there. It's already a sense bar as it is.
Sound guard. This mic is really good for voiceover, though.
Is that?
Sound guard. When you listen to that back, that'll make your pubes stand on end.
I doubt it.
Mine already have.
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, we wrap things up really now, don't we? Everyone walks off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, Kate and Gizmo, off they pop. Mm. And then we go back to...
Billy's got a promotion now.
Well, he's got a promotion, yeah.
He's going to be working on Clamp Corners.
Yes, which is... Mr. Clamp's seen a picture of Kingston Falls, which mm-hmm. obviously where Billy and Kay mm-hmm. are from, and he wants to build his own, but in Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Jersey, that is.
And then we
not near the Channel Islands. That'd be a bit weird, and not very, very cost effective.
And we've wrapped everything up apart from a really strange moment with Scott Carver and the little gremlin at the end.
Yeah, weird one.
Weird one. Weird one is right.
Yeah, yeah, it's like in the corner of a bathroom. He's like got lipstick marks all mm-hmm. over him, sort of afraid, and like our female gremlins approaches him and suddenly he likes it. Yep.
It's left on a bit of a rummagey note, isn't it?
Yeah. Not the best way to end it.
Not the best way to end
really.
It, but there we go.
Yep. And yeah, that is the film, apart from one more bit during the credits. Did you watch that far in?
Is that the Porky Pig thing when the
Daffy Duck keeps reappearing.
Yeah.
Like saying, what, you're still here?
Oh, which, yeah, I've seen that in the past, I didn't watch it this time.
Which for my money, is not as good as when they did it at the end of Spice World. With all the Spice Girls like looking at the camera saying, what, you're still here?
I haven't seen that since it came out.
What, like on the lime green VHS tape it came out?
Might have been the cinema.
Ooh, I remember that. Actually.
Might have been the cinema that I saw it at. I don't think I owned it on cassette.
Mm. My sister got it for her 7th birthday, that and Moon Boots. Do you know what Moon Boots were?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like... Hell. Bit of stringy thing, bouncing up and down.
It's very 90s.
Extremely 90s.
Yeah, I miss the 90s.
I always wanted like an inflatable armchair.
Yes, mate. Why don't you get one?
Yeah.
I keep my keys in my back pocket, I'd forget about it. And then,
why don't you get one?
Oh, fucked it. Tyrannosaur tape.
So yeah, that's Gremlins 2 then.
Yeah.
Done.
All done. Yeah, let's get some final thoughts. So, how are you feeling, Dave, about it?
It's pretty good. I like the King Kong thing. I can sit there and go, oh, that's a reference to King Kong. And then there's Phantom of the Opera. Oh, it's Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
Oh, he's Grandpa Munster. Love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't get them all as a kid. But now that I'm back into, like, classic cinema, Roger Corman 50s stuff, Universal 30s and 40s, it's just even smarter to me.
Mm.
It feels like, as I've grown up and maybe got smarter,
well,
the film's got even smarter as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just really love it. I don't think there's any kind of wasted breath in it. And as we were discussing, I think it's up there with T2 for best sequels of all time.
Mm.
If we're comparing it to the quality of the original.
Yeah.
The fact that it stands up and is maybe better than the original.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made.
Absolutely. Yeah, love it.
What about you, Rob?
I also had a rollicking good time with it, as I always do.
What was that text you sent me? Fucking balmy or something like that?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I text Dave halfway through just to basically exclaim how bonkers it was, which it is. For me, there's moments in it where there's almost too much going on for me to follow. And I think it is a little bit like, there's a couple of points where I think it could have done to be reined in slightly, a little bit.
You can tell that in cutting room time, Spielberg did walk in and say, lose 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And what comes out of it is the fact that you just lose your way at points, like, what's going on?
Yeah. I personally do prefer the first one, but there's not much in it. It's a perfect sequel in many ways, because it does up the ante from the first one, moves it to New York.
Absolutely.
You know?
Fucking tanked it in the box office, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it cost 50, made 40.
Yeah, that's a big old loss, that.
Yeah.
So that's probably not taking into account promotion either.
No.
But it also doesn't factor in the merchandise sales.
No.
Which I imagine was still pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just because it was just... It was 6 years, wasn't it, between...
It's a big old gap.
Do you think it was just too long?
Yeah.
And that sort of faded away? Because this is very much feels like an 80s film. I mean, I know it's only like... 1990 here.
It was probably shot in 89,
I imagine, but it just feels a bit probably too late for this time.
Yeah,
I think so. Considering how forward thinking it is in some respects, it predicts so much stuff in terms of technology and social stuff.
Yeah.
But it does feel, like 87 at a push.
Yeah. What about you, Willie? What's your final thoughts?
I prefer this to the original, and I say this as someone who's...
Mental high five, boosh.
Yeah. And I say this, I've only seen this 3 times, but I've seen the other one... Well, I watch it every Christmas, because it's a Christmas film, and, you know.
Yeah.
But I just feel like this gets the tone and everything that we want to achieve, especially with the Gremlins themselves, right here, whereas I think the first Gremlins was a lot more straightforward in what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They wanted to tell a straight-up horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whereas here, they just... I mean, from frame one, when you've got, like, Daffy Duck there, you know what you're going to get, and I think this is just, like, a better version.
Yeah.
And I also quite like, as well, what I took from the film was a lot of it is sort of like a satire of how the 80s were so... 80s films, you know, like you got from your Landis's and your Spielberg's and all that was so... reverential to the 50s,
the 50s
films, and this feels like an absolute piss take of all that lot as well.
Yeah.
It kind of it extracts all the fun and novelty from 40s and 50s cinema.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Dante really loves that stuff, but he's having fun with it.
Yeah.
But he's not frightened to kind of like basically piss on it.
Yeah.
For a joke, which is fine.
Exactly. Whereas like with everyone else, you know, they were borrowing quite heavily from the 40s and 50s serials, for example. They're good fun, you know, but it is quite straight-laced.
I think the tonal shift in this one is a good shout, because if you remember when Freddy Krueger was doing singles like Freddy's Back and all that shit.
I still need to listen to that album. Got it on record at home.
And then next movie had come out, and he'd be trying to... Obviously, he's still doing his fun and jokes and stuff, but he'd still try and play it off like a horror film.
Yeah.
At this point, everyone's got fucking Gremlins cuddly toys. Everyone's played the terrible NES games. Everyone's watched it to death on VHS. You can't be scared by it no more.
No.
And it did the best that it could with the situation around itself, I think. Yeah. So,
Mm.
Big fan. Yeah. Yeah. Willie.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to ask, call back to earlier on.
Mm.
So Gremlins 3 is apparently in development.
Yep.
Thoughts?
I think first thoughts, first instincts was always, for fuck's sake, like it is with anything like this. Mm-hmm. But I know Chris Columbus is involved in it, which might be helpful because obviously he was heavily involved in the first two films as well. Mm-hmm. I think for me, if there's no Joe Dante, there's no party. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I don't think you can do it with studio interference. If it's an independent thing, if it's done on the indie and it's like made for 15, 20 million, I think you're in for a good time. But I think if it's, if we're talking big budget, which I don't think it will be.
Well, I mean, it'll be Warner Brothers because the original's Warner Brothers. Yeah, and now you've got to look at sort of the context of Warner Brothers now, which is, you know, Warner Brothers are the studio that have done what they've done to the DC universe. So.
Yeah. You know. I'm just. The first two have got so much spirit and character and soul to them.
Yeah.
And you know that's not going to be there.
No.
Anymore.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And because the original one had so much charm in relation to its wider reaching media franchise. It had tie-in video games, it had cuddly toys, it had action figures, it was a phenomenon at the time.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be a thing anymore.
No.
Those tie-ins just aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really know where they're gonna go with it. I'm just hoping it's not like them fucking Alvin and the Chipmunks films. Can I get a squeakquel?
Chipwrecked.
No, you cannot.
Chipwrecked, fucking right.
Yeah,
you cannot get any of that.
No.
Fucking you.
I think, as you say, it's just so of its time.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the second one bombed on either end. It's probably just slightly too late for it.
Yeah.
So I don't see how it can translate to an audience, I assume, some early 20s.
Yeah.
20s.
You'd have to do something completely different with it.
Yeah,
if it were to be a sequel. I'm thinking reboot.
Mm. But what they'll probably do is your dark, gritty thing, and you end up with a complete fucking mess like Power Rangers film or something like that.
Oh, that was.
I quite enjoyed that Power Rangers film.
I watched it back recently. I think it's completely misjudged.
See, I've only seen it the once.
Mm.
In fairness, it's dog shit, right?
Yeah. Bloody revenge porn. Like, are you kidding me?
Anything I watch in an ABC cinema, I have a good time because I feel like a child.
Yeah.
Because it's an ABC cinema. You walk in, it's your fucking green screen Amstrad computer. They print out your tickets on the little Xerox thing and it's got the punch holes at the side.
Yeah.
I'm in nostalgia territory right away.
Yeah.
It's why I like Batman v Superman. Watched it in an ABC. Just happy to watch two big lads battering fuck out of each other. All the kids are just like, yeah, Superman, yeah!
Fair enough.
Oh, wait, the mums have got the same name. Have you seen Batman v Superman?
No.
No, I got it. Sorry.
Yeah. Basically, they batter the fuck out of each other. It's a pretty good fight scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my mum's called such and such. Wait, that's my mum's name. Oh, we should be friends.
Yeah, I'm never watching that film. Should we do the shits and popcorns?
Yes, okay. Who wants to deal out the shits and popcorns first?
I'll go first.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Turd me up.
Turd you up. Two turds.
Ooh.
Mm. Very nice, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's too slick, too flawless.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apart from a couple of mess-ups here and there with the femgrem.
Mm.
Grem. That's grem. G-R-E-M-M-E.
Frem.
Grem.
Frem.
Frem grem. Very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it a trem?
Popcorns. 10.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
Shit.
Just slinging it out there.
Whoa. That was the most casual 10 anyone's ever issued.
Look salted caramel popcorn or some shit like that.
Me. Yeah, that's a proper, like...
It's an effortless 10, mate.
It's a gingerbread latte of a 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Goodness.
He's face deep in a bag of butter kiss.
Isn't it just? He's slipping into that toffee-induced coma.
Yeah.
He's gone with last day.
What about you, Rob? Start with turds.
Turds, I'm in agreement with Dave. Two turds, DOS turds.
Mm.
Can't give any more turds than that.
No.
Just unfair to do so.
Yeah.
As it's like, I think the only reason it hasn't got one is because there was just as I've said before, a couple of times in the film, there's just too much going on all at once, and it just blows my mind a little bit too much. But yeah, two turds, mate. Agree.
What's your popping corns, though, Rob?
I am popping acorns.
Ooh.
Interesting. Acorns. Had a fantastic time.
Yeah.
I think it was just, again, it just hits me with a little bit too much.
Okay.
Couple of points.
Okay.
But it is still a rollicking good time, and I would watch it again.
Okay.
Very soon.
Wilson, I hope you're not going to be a tight company of popcorns.
Well, it's turds first, so you'll have to just wait, won't you?
Yeah,
don't want to blow your wad too early on the popcorn
front. Well, we've got three sets of two turds here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
it's a Desmond.
Hey.
Desmond 2-2-2.
Sort of.
Him and his half-brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, no real issues here apart from... Well, as you say, maybe the awkward female gremlin and a couple of little like nitpicks in there, but nothing
too much
can say, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And as far as popcorn goes, I'll go for an 8 as well.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. It's not tight, you're over generous.
I'm in agreement with Rob a bit. There's just probably a bit too much going on here and there, hence why my notes kept just saying more anarchy.
Yeah, yeah. And it does repeat a bit as well.
It does, yeah.
But let me word it this way for you, Willie, before you set that in cement. If you're having an all-you-can-eat breakfast and someone keeps giving you bacon, would you, like, go on TripAdvisor, 3 out of 5 stars, gave me too much bacon?
No, you'd probably say 4 out of 5 stars, gave me too much bacon.
Too
much bacon's too much bacon.
Yeah.
And do you know what you do? If you give a 4 out of 5 star review for the bacon...
Yeah, yeah.
Double 5 is 10. Double 4 is 8. 8 out of 10.
Right.
8 popcorns.
There we go.
I've got just shot yourself in the foot.
I've got nothing else to say. This is all you can eat bacon for me.
Yeah. Just got shanked.
Yeah.
Bye!
Gotta say what's coming up next, aren't we? What's coming up next?
You continue.
So that was Gremlins 2 then. I hope you enjoyed this Christmas but not really special. Maybe next year we'll actually pick something proper, or maybe not.
I don't think so. Fuck it.
Right, reel it back, start again. Don't fucking apologise to these people.
Okay, right. Well, next time, which be New Year's Eve, unless, you know, you listen to it after, you know, with your hangover or something.
Yeah.
It's Rob's choice in the chair.
It is.
I think I've muddled up my metaphors there.
Don't worry about it, it's fine. You got your basic point across, didn't you?
Yeah. What film are you choosing, man?
It is Tremors 3, Back to Perfection.
Ooh.
Yeah. Gone a little bit, sort of keeping a little bit with the theme, I guess, of horror elements and comedy elements that we've
gonna get yourself some comedy.
Yeah, that we've enjoyed on this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's next.
Very great.
This is the wrap-up section, Wilson. You're in the chair, my friend.
So, thank you for listening, and it's a goodbye from Dave. It's a goodbye from Rob. And it's goodbye from me. Bye!
Just fucking bye myself.
Yeah, bye, man.
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates. Regular updates, possibly, maybe, hopefully, if Wilson gets his arse in gear. At Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and of course at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.